Now, can I propose, what, or Carol, do you want to propose what you said?
Yeah, I'll move that we raise the threshold to 3% to propose the, for the members to propose the amendment. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Can we call the question?
Okay, let's get the actual article section and so forth.
All right, it's Article 16, Section 1A, proposing amendments, sub 3, a petition signed by at least 2% of all members. Which petition?
He considered proposed. Sub 3?
Yeah.
Okay,
amendment may be proposed by a petition signed by 2% of the members. That's the motion. All right.
Any discussion? Hearing none. This is second. Bear with me for just a moment, please. Okay. Pete?
Yes.
Kenneth?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Ari?
Yeah.
Well, yes, as well as unanimous. Okay. Next issue.
We're at sub-3.
Well, actually, there's something still in two.
Oh.
That is, if it's submitted to the members for voting, it's been rejected by the board and the local station board, what threshold of voting is required to override the boards of directors and the local, all the station boards to say that no, Trump, we're going to amend these bylaws?
Well, I'm looking at the law here, and it says a majority vote, approval of the members.
And if you go to section...
Majority of the quorum or a majority of the members?
Of the quorum.
If you go to section 4, which is the next page, I think there was some language that had been proposed that would require... I think the proposal, which was given to us, is three-fifths vote.
Excuse me, when you said a quorum of what?
The members is 10% of all the members is a quorum. We've established that. For the vote of the members to be valid, they have to get at least 10% of the members to return the ballot before you even count them, right?
So, and then we need to actually clarify that because it depends on how they're voting. Are they voting as a class of members or are they voting as a group of members? Are they voting
as a group? Relating to that down the road. But in any event, we're looking at that, and I'm just saying that, well, then, so submitted to members for voting, then there's no issue there, is what you're saying, Erica? Because that's dealt with down the road.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions regarding sub 2?
Excuse me. So you're saying, okay, I would raise the quorum then.
Well, we've had a whole long discussion about this several times, and we can't go back on that. I mean, we need 10% of the 10% is a low quorum already, and that's the quorum we require for electing delegates.
And I just have to clarify here the way. It reads currently that its quorum is 10% of listener sponsor members, one-third of staff members, just for clarification purposes.
But if they vote together, all members together, it's 10%.
Right, and the language which was presented to me for this purpose, I was told that you guys wanted them to vote as a class, in classes on this issue.
Oh, do we vote as a quorum?
I was
going
to move to remove the phrase, each class of, so it'd be a quorum of members. For, compiling otherwise, the class of, let's say, staff, for example, could veto anything because if they don't approve it, it doesn't happen.
Okay, Erica, yeah. I'm sorry. You guys are talking legalese, and I don't know about anybody else on the board, but I don't know this difference between class and groups and how this affects
people. I don't either.
Right.
Okay.
What happens is because of how your structure is set up so that staff members vote only for staff staff delegates and don't vote for listener sponsor delegates and vice versa. We had to create quorums that dealt with each type of member since under certain situations each class of members vote on different issues. And so if you have an issue where the members are voting as classes, which means that all staff members are voting together and all listener sponsor members are voting together separate from each other, there's a different set of quorums there.
Okay, can you give me an example of what that might be? I'm
sure. About? So if it's time for an election on a local station board and there is one staff delegate seat open and one listener sponsor delegate seat open, only listener sponsor members would vote
for that seat.
Exactly, and only staff members would vote for the staff delegate seat. So
one-third.
Right, and so if it's a staff member, in order to get a quorum of ballots, it was determined that they, that you guys wanted to have one-third of all staff members would serve as a quorum. But if we were dealing with issues associated with listener sponsors, you wanted 10% of all listener sponsors to serve as a quorum. So we have to be mindful from that point forward if we're doing any types of voting to be clear as to whether or not we're having staff members' votes. Having the members vote separately as classes or voting together as just one one unified group.
Well, speaking to this issue, I don't see any reason why the classes of members should vote separately on bylaws amendments unless it's a bylaws amendment that affects one class differently than the other.
Yeah.
Right. That's why my, the motion I was prepared to make, again from the KPFK Local Advisory Board, that we eliminate the phrase of each class. So a
where
quorum of members.
Where is that?
Four.
It's in sub 4. It's Article 16, Section 1, Subsection
okay.
4. About two-thirds of the way through there. It says, to be approved, a proposed amendment must receive the approval of by a three-fifths vote of a quorum of. Then I would eliminate the phrase each class of.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I'll second that.
That
okay.
occurs again relative to the Articles of Incorporation. In,
yeah. Can we move
yeah.
forward fast?
So is that a motion?
Three-fifths vote of members.
Of the members.
Elite
quorum of members. Three-fifths vote of a quorum of members. Eliminating the phrase each class.
Okay.
Of.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, so that's Article 16, Section 1, Sub 4, or some 61B, 4, to eliminate each class of. And is there any objection? Is that by acclamation?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at, I have another issue here. I'm looking at Kevin and Erica.
Mm-hmm.
Section 5150 of the California Corporations Code.
Mm-hmm.
It says bylaws may be adopted, amended, or repealed by approval of the members, paren, Section 5034.
Right.
Section 5034 says approval by or of the members means approval or ratified by the affirmative vote of a majority of the votes represented and voting at a duly held meeting at which a quorum is present. So we're holding this meeting by written ballot.
Right.
So the quorum rule applies, but it says approval by the members means majority vote of the members.
But can we raise the bar is the question.
And it looks to me like the statute says that it only takes a majority of the members voting to amend the bylaws. And that we, do you believe we can set a higher bar, or is that a statutory matter?
I think that we can generally set a higher bar. I think the issue becomes on the matter set forth under B3.
B3 of what?
B3 of this article, what are we on page 39? This is
between
article.
Those items, which is
I'm sorry. I'm my mind is going numb. And are we talking about the statute, or are we talking?
We're talking about the bylaws. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, if you go back to the bylaws, the
yes.
section 3 of this, or subsection 3 of this section 1 of this article 16, set forth the items where members are entitled to vote,
mm-hmm.
Definitely, and, you know, the language of the code there does say a majority, and so, you know, I think you do raise a good question as to whether or not we can raise that standard with respect to these particular five items.
Yeah, I puzzled over this statute, and it just looks to me like we can't restrict the voting rights of the members here.
We can alter the quorum.
Well, the quorum is statutory. The quorum isn't statutory.
Oh, exactly. So the only way we can change that threshold is what you're saying may be just by the quorum if we cannot raise it above a majority vote.
Yeah, but that's a big problem because we've always been concerned about if we have a dry, very uninteresting, not sexy bylaws amendment that we need to get the members to approve.
Does it have to be sexy to get approval?
Yeah.
That we need a low enough quorum that we'll be able to get it approved.
Well, and, you know, Carol, as you and I have talked about before, you know, Section 5150, you know, is a little bit ambiguous because, you know, my interpretation of it is that members are really only required to have the right to vote on the items set forth under the Section 3 on page 39. And so, you know, arguably, you know, we could deal with language that says that we leave it at a majority if it, you know, impacts one of these five rights, but then leave it as is, as currently written for Section 4. Because, you know, I mean, I still read the section to say that, you know, the bylaws can generally be amended by the board without action by the members with the exception of the item set forth in 3MI5.
Well, what do you make of Section B that says bylaws may be adopted by the members? And then Section C that says the articles could restrict the power of the board to amend, but it doesn't say you can restrict the power of the members to amend.
But then I think you have to go back to A, which says that the board can do it without members. So, I mean, it's definitely a section that, you know, we could spend a lot of time researching and going back and forth on. And so I think that's how we got to kind of this middle ground of trying to come up with a way to give them, since it was the board's desire to allow them the rights to vote on certain issues, to allow them to have the ability to vote. And I think the question which you raise is a particular concern, probably with regards to the subsection 3, since we know those are things which, you know, they definitely have the right to vote on, and whether or not we can raise that threshold higher than that of a majority. And to be honest, I'd have to look into it a bit further.
May I inquire as to the statutory language? I'm not at my office. I do not
sure.
have the corporation's letter in front of me.
Yeah, I actually...
All right, it's 5150.
Right, no. You're free.
Would anybody object if we just changed 3/5 to a majority?
I don't object. I think that's what it should be.
I was just going to ask if the language
is really
mandatory or permissive terms relative to the threshold.
It's permissive.
Well, it's cash. I mean, I'm talking about in the statutes.
Hold on 2 seconds.
The statutes. All right, what are you talking about?
Whether it says shall or may in the statute.
It says the bylaws may be amended by the board of directors except in certain circumstances and may be amended by the members, and that the bylaws can restrict the right of the board to amend the bylaws, but it doesn't say the bylaws can restrict the right of the members to amend the bylaws.
Where it states the majority of the members, is that permissive or mandatory, do you think, by the reading of the language employed in that statute?
It says by the approval of the members, and it references 5034, which defines approval of the members as a majority vote of a quorum.
I'm going to grab a book. I'll be right back.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now. It says approval by or approval of the members as referenced in 5051 shall mean approved or ratified by the affirmative vote of a majority of the votes represented in voting at a duly held meeting. So the question, we didn't have to cross-reference it, though. That's what I'm looking for right now.
When you say, because you all are losing me by the moment.
I'm sorry.
But when you say cross-reference, you mean there's talk about the same thing in another part of the bylaw?
Well, sometimes, what I'm cross-referencing now is the code provision, because sometimes, even though there's language that says it has to be by a majority, there'll be language elsewhere that allows the bylaws to increase thresholds for things. That makes sense.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So the statute, Janice, says that the bylaws may be adopted by approval of the members,
mm-hmm.
and it references a section that defines approval of the members as 5034.
I just wondered if anybody really cared whether it was 3/5 or a majority.
I don't care. I would much prefer it be a majority.
Well, I wonder if anybody else cares.
So is that a motion, Jen?
I think so.
Then we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. I move that we change the term, the wording 3/5 to a majority of members.
Okay. Wherever member votes are required for modification of the bylaws, the language be changed to majority and the threshold be changed to majority.
No, I'm talking about this particular place.
This place, where it
That's what I'm
the
talking
bylaws.
About right here on page 40, first paragraph, under 4.
Okay, so
16 something.
Article 16, section 1.
16.1.4. I'm only talking about here.
Yeah.
Replace 3/5 with the term majority.
Yes, majority, yes.
Okay, that's
second.
So the motion is there a second? Is there a second?
Second, second, second.
It was seconded.
Okay, 16, 1, B, 4. Okay, is there any objection to accepting this by acclamation? Hearing no objection, it is adopted unanimously.
Okay. Moving on.
Okay, so the next issue is...
We lost
next issue. No, I'm sorry. I was looking at co-provision 5512, which I think would allow us to increase the number beyond a majority. But if the board wants to go forward with the majority, then I won't.
Yeah, so we can change it to 3/5, so we can have it.
Well, let's not do it.
I think there's an argument that 5512C would allow us to be able to increase the number, and I was just going to cross-reference it with one other section. But only if the board wanted me to do that.
I don't want to. Let's go.
X?
No.
X?
Okay, and then finally, Section 5 of our subsection 5 of this subsection B that talks about that notwithstanding anything else we've just said, that these bylaws may not be amended or repealed if in the written opinion of legal counsel for the foundation, experience with commissions, laws, and regulations, referring to the FCC, or legal counsel for the foundation, experience with California nonprofit corporations laws, as appropriate, that said amendment would, and I need, I'm fixing a typo there, would violate any state or federal statute, would conflict with the foundation articles, or would create conflicting provisions in these bylaws. So this is kind of your last chance that if you get some type of bylaw passed that just really causes some type of violation with the statute, with the foundation articles, it throws off other areas of the bylaws. And if council can opine to that, that the board does not have to adopt any of these proposed amendments.
Comments, questions, motions?
Yeah, I think the commission should be spelled out, the Federal Communications Commission.
Was it a defined term earlier?
Yeah, the Federal Commission, their legal counsel for the foundation, the experience with FCC or Federal Communications Laws and Regulations, so we know what we're talking about there. And I don't like and or. I think that any bylaws amendment that's going to be put to a vote needs to go past our FCC counsel and an attorney knowledgeable about California corporations law. So I would take out the or.
Please speak up a bit, Carol.
I would take out the or, and I would spell out FCC.
Your motion is?
That's it. It's my, I don't even know if there's any objection if we should.
Well, actually, I was going to move that the whole section be stricken.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Does what? That mean that if we're doing amendments that deal with, say, the number of the standing committees, that our FCC council has to review it?
I guess it does.
If you
it also
you
means
made
that if we want to push the envelope and our lawyer doesn't like the idea, then the lawyer, by writing a letter, can constrain the foundation from doing what it wants to do.
Well, I don't think a lawyer would write a letter opining that this violates the law unless it does violate the law.
Well, with all due respect, Carol, we're brush law for 15 years. I have never advised anything incorrectly, but I've seen it happen.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm very concerned because the old foundation board adopted bylaws, amendments, and violations of the law.
Right.
The new foundation board is likely to do it. Everybody thinks that, oh, gee, we can do anything we want without looking at the law first and saying whether we can or can't. That's what got us into this problem about diversity requirements, and it'll happen again and again and again. And I just really don't want the foundation to end up with bylaws that have been amended several times illegally, and we end up in court with another lawsuit like we just went through.
And I just want to point out that I think it's California. I'm trying to find the right code provision, but I think there already is a code provision under California law. Oh, here it is. It's 5151C that provides the bylaws may not be amended to include any provision that conflicts with law or with the corporation's articles. So even if we took it out, that law would still apply.
All right. So the safeguard's there. And I don't think we need kindergarten teachers, and I think that the lawyers should be used when we need them, not have to review every little thing we do. But I do think that we should also be able to, I mean, I'm not talking about civil disobedience here, but I'm talking about pushing the envelope and not be constrained. Like I said, with this language, a lawyer writes a letter, we are constrained. And goodness knows what the motivation or confusion might be beneath it, but the board needs to do its homework and not just say, well, it's okay if no lawyer wrote a letter on it, it must be kosher. No, we got to do our homework. So, well, I would offer a substitute motion that we strike Section 5, or subsection 5.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Has Jabari got a chance to take the language out of here?
Yeah, you know, I'm for that.
Whatever it says.
Who seconded it?
Jabari did.
Okay.
Substitute motion takes precedence. Is there any discussion?
Yes,
Erica, is this okay? To do this, not to have this?
Yeah, I mean, if you take it out, there's laws out there that says that, you know, even if you don't have the legal counsel issue, under California law, I mean, you just cannot adopt any bylaw that contradicts
the law.
Yeah,
so
with the law or with the article. So I think what you're losing simply is, you know, language if it conflicts with provisions in these bylaws. So in the absence of this provision, what would happen is if someone passed an amendment and there was some concern by the board about its legality or that it conflicted with the articles, that you would have that basis to challenge it anyway.
Well, what about if the board wants to do it? I mean, basically what this does is it eliminates notice to the board that we're planning to adopt something that we can't adopt.
No,
because if you get a proposal that that, you know, appears on its face to raise an issue about whether or not it's legal, or if on its face appears to conflict with the articles, you know, I mean, you know early on that it smells funny.
How would we know that if we didn't consult a lawyer? What I'm telling you is the history of this foundation is that its bylaws have been repeatedly amended by boards of directors in manner contrary to law. They did it time and again.
But
they did it in 1961. They did it in 1984. They did it in 91. They did it in 95. They did it in 97. They did it in 99.
Let me ask a question, though.
So why wouldn't we want, before we voted on something or submitted it to the members for a vote, to run it past a lawyer to say, no, you can't do that. But here's another way to do it, if this is what you want. Why wouldn't we want to have that information? Where instead we might go blindly bumbling ahead, adopt some bylaws, get them passed, maybe the board passes it, maybe the LSB passes it, maybe the members pass it, and then we go blithely tripping along for another 3 to 5 years, and then somebody says, oh, you can't do that. I'm going to sue.
Does not having five in there keep people from getting seeking legal counsel?
No, it doesn't. It does if the members submit it. If the members submit it, we have to submit it to the members for a vote. There's no provision in there that says that a lawyer could stop it or that. I mean, I don't understand the objection to this. It just seems plain.
My objection to this, explained, is frankly the fundamental thrust is that if in a written opinion by legal counsel for the foundation, experience of the commission's laws and regulations, and or legal counsel for the foundation, experience of California nonprofit corporations law. In other words, if our FCC and corporate lawyer say we can't do it, then we can't do it. And I object to that. I would change my thing, then deleting it, sorry Jabari, but saying notwithstanding any of the provisions of this section 1B, these bylaws may not be amended or repealed if said amendment or repeal conflicts with the foundation articles or we create conflicting provisions in these bylaws. So it's true, we need to make sure we can't do anything that would conflict within it internally. But I think we can conflict with our lawyers.
Well, let me just run a scenario past you, because there are dozens and dozens and dozens of people out there just salivating, waiting to put forward a bylaws amendment in a year or two
And the tourists, too.
That says that the LSBs have all power over the station and cannot be overridden by the national board unless...
They'll be inconsistent with other...
No. They're going to put forward bylaws amendments that say, that are consistent throughout, that do that. They give all power over the station to LSB. People want to do that. They don't understand why we can't do that. Well, that conflicts with FCC rules, where the board of directors has to control the licenses and be in control of the station, and California law, but it'll go through. I mean, that's a scenario that's quite plausible.
That's an interesting point, Carol.
Yeah.
Dave.
Okay, well, if you just delete the section where it says, or may not be, or just make it so it reads, may not be amended or repealed.
Excuse me, Dave.
If the amendment or repeal would violate any state or federal statute or regulation or conflict with the Foundation's articles or bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, Dave?
Yes.
Have you withdrawn your previous motion to strike this subsection?
I'm running backwards, Jabari. I'm inching backwards. And what I would do is, in other words, remove the phrase.
No, I understand, but right.
Council, et cetera, et cetera.
No, just for a point of order. Right now, you submitted a motion to strike
Section 5.
And I seconded it.
You seconded it. And
are we dealing with that, or are we dealing with something?
I'm arguing against it is what we're dealing with.
I understand, but Dave, I'm talking to you. Are you still proposing that motion?
I have offered to amend it. I could say I've withdrawn it, and I'm reposing another motion.
Okay, so you have withdrawn
it. Legitimate procedurally.
Are you withdrawing, or you have withdrawn it?
I've offered to amend it to conform with some of the concerns I think cogently raised by Carol. I withdraw my motion, and I will now restate a motion stating that I would only modify Section 5 by deleting the phrase after the first appearance of the word repealed, deleting thereafter if in the written opinion of legal counsel, et cetera, up into the word as appropriate. And then, in other words, so it would read as follows. Notwithstanding any of the provisions of this Section 1B, these bylaws may not be amended or repealed if said amendment or repeal would violate any state or federal statute or regulation, conflict with Foundation articles, or would create conflicting provisions in these bylaws. That's my new motion.
Okay, so you want us to somehow or other know that without consulting legal counsel?
Oh, I'd say we better talk to our lawyers. My point is, I don't want to put the bylaws in a situation where a lawyer by a letter can veto the board's intent.
Could you read that once more again?
Notwithstanding any of the provisions of this Section 1B, these bylaws may not be amended or repealed if said amendment or repeal would violate any state or federal statute or regulation, conflict with the Foundation's articles, or would create conflicting provisions in these bylaws.
Okay, I had a question, because when I'm reading it, it says Section 2B. You said Section 1B.
I meant to say Section 1B.
What I'm reading, it says Section 2B. So I want to make sure.
Where are you? Are you at Article 16?
You're looking at Section 2. I'm looking at relative to the bylaws, Jabari. Back up a page.
Okay, that's all.
Page 40.
It's just a question. Okay.
Section sub 4, Section 1.
I'd like to add something, if I may. From a lawyer's perspective, I don't think any lawyer is going to want to have that veto power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you didn't give us the letters, and we messed up.
Right, and A, and B, you know, oftentimes, Dave, as you know, there's ambiguity in the law. So you can have an opinion that it may, but it's very rare when things are somewhat gray that you're going to say that it does or does not. You're going to see a bunch of wiggle room in these type opinion letters from lawyers.
Hmm. But let me ask you, Kevin, if somebody wanted to propose an amendment to the bylaws that said the national board couldn't override the local boards, and they gathered 2% of the members' signatures on it, and it went through all the various places and got enacted. We just disempowered and took away the management of the foundation from the board of directors. Would there be any reluctance on your part to opine beforehand about that?
Well, I would think that in that situation, even if we take out the language about the lawyer, mm-hmm. the written opinion by a lawyer under that some part, I, which David suggested we keep in, which would violate any state or federal statute or regulation, we'd still have that protection. And, you know, obviously if it was my job to opine, you know, I would give you my opinion.
Mm-hmm. The court can give declaratory relief indicating that such a provision would be a violation of federal law and regulation.
Exactly.
So we would have to go get a judge to give us an opinion rather than a lawyer.
No. I think what would happen is the board would take the position that this was in violation of state or federal statute or regulation. And then what could happen is the members could go to court to try to get an injunction, forcing the board to adopt this modification or amendment.
All right, so we're trading in a lawyer's opinion for a judge's opinion, but you don't think a lawyer would want to give us this opinion, Kevin, is that right?
Well, I'm saying that lawyers' opinions on these subject matters oftentimes are not black and white.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think the board just needs to realize that going in.
Uh-huh.
And the concern I would have is if you basically go to a lawyer and say, whatever you come down with, Kevin, is going to make the decision whether or not we do it or not, because you unilaterally have got the veto right, it's going to put the lawyer in an extremely awkward position.
Mm-hmm. So is your suggestion then that Dave's language of striking in the opinion of legal counsel is wise?
I think that's a good suggestion. If we have people who are concerned that a lawyer will always be brought in when we have issues relative to legality. I mean, you know, you could certainly have some proviso that says if a certain percentage of the board feels that this amendment would violate state or federal statute, that, you know, a lawyer's opinion will be obtained.
Mm-hmm.
If we're concerned about having a right to have an attorney brought in if the issue does materialize.
Well, you know, we worked on these bylaws starting last March, and didn't get legal counsel involved until January. And we've taken a lot of heat and criticism about that, and I think it's justifiable. We put a lot of time and effort into developing some things that just, you know, wouldn't pass muster. And I'm thinking that it was pretty, maybe at least, irresponsible on our part, and so I would like to prevent that from happening again. I just don't know how.
Any further discussion, argument, or comment with regards to this proposal?
Dave, I just want to make sure where you are. You are now proposing this modified language.
All right, deleting from sub 5 of Article 16, Section 1, B, the language, reading it, if you go into it,
you're leading the lawyer veto is what you're doing.
I've been deleting the lawyer veto, saying we still can't violate anything which violates state law or is inconsistent internally is void. And
my lab was very concerned about, as expressed by the lab chair, was concerned about a lawyer veto.
Right, let's remove that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my question to Kevin and Erica, Dave's original motion to strike it would, in effect, not have any, eliminate the provisions of law that would protect the purpose of this section from the beginning. Is that correct?
It would eliminate your language, which would give you a veto right if the amendment was in conflict with the provisions of these bylaws. But California law does already provide that if it violates any state law or conflicts with the Foundation's articles, it cannot be adopted. So
not having the section would not eliminate our ability or that capability, but putting it in there would just be a formal recognition of it.
And a caution, maybe.
And plus you're adding one more protective layer, which is if it creates a conflict in the bylaws.
Okay, any further discussion or question? Okay, so a yes vote, will we call the question, no objection?
A yes
vote would be to delete Article 16, Section 1, B5, delete the language, which is if in the written opinion by legal counsel for the foundation, experience with commission's law and regulations, and a legal counsel for the foundation, experience with California nonprofit corporations law as appropriate. That's deleted. Thus, the section I'm going to read as I've read a few times already. Does anybody need for me to read it again?
Please, yes.
Okay, thus I'm going to read it as follows. Notwithstanding any of the provisions of this section 1B, these bylaws may not be amended or repealed if said amendment or repeal would violate any state or federal statute or regulation, conflict with the foundation's articles, or would create conflicting provisions in these bylaws. That's the motion. Any further discussion? Questions being called. Any objection? Hearing none, the question is called. The yes vote, Peter.
No.
Janice.
A yes means you want to strike it, right?
No, yes means to strike in that section, striking the lawyer veto, basically, and leaving everything else intact.
Yes.
Carol?
No.
George?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Teresa? Rob?
Yes.
Yes.
Ari?
Yeah.
Yes, so that's, it prevails. Okay, next.
It's 3:40. I'm hungry. Let's go.
Okay, next.
We're almost done. This is the last part. This is section 2.
Article 16, section 2.
Article what?
Article 16, section 2, page 40. It's the amendment of articles of incorporation.
Article, wait a minute.
Amendment.
Scroll down.
Sure.
I have to tell you this. I have to tell you something. Somehow, in my ditziness, and I'm sure that will be used, that state won't be used against me. I was under the impression we were going to come back to local advisory board's suggestions. And I don't know, by looking, how many of my local advisory board's suggestions have been incorporated. Some of them were just issues of, you know, concern about redundancy and such. Carol, when Deb Shapto sent these to you, did you send these on to Erica?
I sent them to the board.
Okay. Has anybody looked at them?
I looked at them.
Okay. Do you feel that any of them had been taken into consideration?
I'm really feeling every minute more and more along the lines of what Rob said. Everybody's looked at these things over and over again, mm-hmm. and I think it's time to bring an amen to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to revisit anything else again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel in a way that before we close the meeting, I would like to quickly go through with Erica and make sure that some of the concerns of the KPF lab were taken into consideration.
But even so, if you say it's important for them to get in there, we got to vote on it, Teresa.
I understand, but I assumed that because Deb sent them not to me, but to Carol, that they were being taken into consideration, and
Is all this stuff we're going back and it's like the 17th bite of the apple type of thing,
mm-hmm.
Teresa?
Well, there are just a few that I need to bring up, and I also just sent an email to all of you. I don't know whether you have access to it, but there was one additional thing that some people brought to my attention which had to do with fair campaign.
You know, I would really like to finish amendments to the Articles of Incorporation. And if there is something that is of great moment that the KPFT lab has that we did not discuss previously, mm-hmm. I would be willing to discuss it quickly, but not all of the issues that you've got on that list there. I mean, I certainly
understand.
And I'm sorry that you misunderstood. Mm-hmm. We did decide the other day that we would just address any issue as it came up, and mm-hmm. we did raise KPFT issues.
Yeah, I've heard some of them come up, but I want you to understand that I was not bringing them up because I thought that somehow changes had already been made or...
No, I thought you weren't bringing them up because you were put on the board by the plaintiffs.
Teresa, let's finish the bylaws, and then everything that you want to bring up, everybody that wants to stay on the call will be happy to hear and vote on.
Article 16, Section 2, Amendment of Articles of Incorporation. Sub A, is there any proposals, discussion, concerns?
Yeah. Do you propose that these three, in the first one, with these three methods of proposing amendments should be the same as for the bylaws that we just created?
Okay, that's a question. Anyone got answers for that?
I would think for consistency, they probably should be, because I guess these were the same provisions under the proposal, the amendment proposals previously.
I would place a higher threshold to alter articles, personally.
Okay.
The incorporation?
Articles of incorporation.
They should be even harder to change, you think?
That's what I would say, yes, because those state the mission.
Right. The purposes of the foundation. I don't want...
It's those aspects of the articles. The other articles might need to be changed for business purposes, but those are parts of the articles which address the mission. I think they should be damn near impossible to change.
I'm confused. Where are we exactly? Article 16, what section?
Section 2.
Section 2.
Page 40.
And I think this is laid out in comparison to the other... the proposing was the same, except that we said a petition signed by 2% of all members, which we've now conformed. So we just changed proposing amendments to the bylaws to require 6 directors. How many directors do we want to be able to propose amendments to the articles, if not 2/3 vote of the board? Then we said 2, mm-hmm. majority vote of 2 LSBs to propose amendments to the bylaws. Do we want to have the same for the articles or no? I think proposing amendments, there's no reason to have it different from bylaws and articles. Maybe approving language we should change.
I would agree with that. I would think, again, they're just proposals.
Yeah. So I would like to move that we make this conform to, for proposing bylaws, that it be the same as, proposing amendments to the articles, that it be the same as the bylaws, which is 6 directors, majority vote of 2 LSBs, or a petition signed by 2% of all the members.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion? I'm hearing no discussion. Is there any objection to accepting this by acclamation? Hearing none?
I have a question for y'all.
Regarding this motion?
No. Yes.
Yes?
Well,
accepting it unanimously by acclamation?
No.
You're not?
No. I'll accept it, yes.
Okay, done. Next issue.
Now my question. Everyone's having a conniption fit over having a bylaws, having a convention in two years to revisit the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying, you can meet the standards, go for, right?
What'd you say, George?
Yeah, we're saying if you can reach the level of threshold we've got, go for it.
Oh, the two issues are really kind of unrelated. Certainly there can be a bylaws convention in 2 years where people can sit and talk about how well the bylaws have performed, what problems have been noticed, whether there's anything that needs to be changed in order to function better. You know, there's nothing that prevents that from happening.
Does that need to be included in the bylaws?
I don't think so. We adopted a resolution that it would occur.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
Okay, so Article 16, Section 2A has been amended to be in concordance with the same standards as applied to proposing amendments to the bylaws. That was Section 2A. Section 2B deals with approving amendments.
My lab says that in Section 2B3II, am I getting ahead?
No.
2B3II.
That it should read increase or decrease or change rather than just increase.
I don't have a 2B3II.
I don't have a, we don't have a 2B3II.
Under approving amendment, section 2, which starts in order for an amendment.
Oh, okay.
The article,
right at the bottom.
Okay.
Then it goes... It should be II, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it's 2B2II.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In
so
case
you
of
say,
an amendment proposed by a member petition pursuant to section da-da-da,
that
amendment
2A,
may be adopted in the absence of an affirmative vote by the board.
I don't see increase or decrease in there.
should. I don't see the word increase, but
that amendment may be adopted in the absence of affirmative vote of the board and/or the LSBs if said proposed amendment is approved by 2/3 of a vote of each class of members.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to propose a motion if no one else is.
Okay.
The members.
And under 16, section 2B, sub 1.
Increase.
I'm sorry, sub 2. Roman numeral lowercase.
What does it start with?
The proposed amendment must be approved by A, the majority of all directors, B, the majority vote of all delegates, and so forth. My point is to raise the threshold for approval to 2/3. And that 2/3, I would assert, should be to all directors, to all classes, to all applicable classes.
2/3 of the directors, majority vote of the delegates.
2/3 of all delegates.
2/3 of all the delegates?
Of at least 3 of the LSDs.
Of at least 3 LSDs.
And then and sub II,
mm-hmm.
that it'd be 2/3 of a quorum of members.
Not each class voting separately.
Actually, I would like to see it to 75%, but that starts to get confusing.
Okay, at 2IC, you also want 2/3 of the quorum, majority quorum?
2/3, yes.
Of each class, okay.
2/3 across the board.
I don't think we should do each class. I think the members should vote all together.
I agree. And we'll remove the phrase. So in other words,
yeah.
Section B, sub 2,
mm-hmm.
I and II would read as follows. The proposed amendments must be approved by A, 2/3 of all directors, B, 2/3 of all delegates of at least 3 of the LSBs, which LSB shall vote on the proposed amendments within the same calendar month as the board, and C, 2/3 vote a majority quorum of a quorum of each, 2/3 vote of the quorum of each class of members.
No, each class is stricken.
A quorum of members, thank you, thank you. And then II, in the case of an amendment proposed by member petition pursuant to section 1A3 above.
That should be actually 2A3 above.
Okay. Said amendment may be adopted in the absence of an affirmative vote by the board and or the LSB. If said proposed amendment is approved by, at that stage, I would say 75% of a quorum of members.
Can we say 3/4? Because I like numbers, fractions.
So if you're overriding the board, it should take 3/4 of the vote of the members.
Mm-hmm. Second
that. That's my motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, is it acceptable to take this by acclamation unanimously or should conduct a vote?
David, just let me be very clear. So in order to override the board on a bylaws vote?
Amend the articles of incorporation.
To amend the articles, you've got to have a vote of 3/4 of the membership?
Mm-hmm.
Voting.
Of a quorum.
3/4 of a vote of the quorum of members.
So if it's 75,000 people... There's 100,000.
Of a quorum.
A quorum is 10%.
10%, I'm sorry.
Or whoever votes. And it might be 30% might vote, you know. But whomever votes, it's got to be a 3/4 prevailing vote. It's a very high threshold to alter the amendment.
The articles.
The articles.
I have a question, Dave.
Yes.
Is this one of a certain number of provisions, or is this is an and, not an or?
Hmm?
Is this A or B or C, or is this A and B and C?
You're talking about the article?
No, and this thing, as far as the 75% of members, that has to be a requirement.
That 75% comes into play if the member petition is to change the articles is rejected by
okay,
the board.
Okay, so we're at, okay, that answered my question. That has to do with a petition from the membership.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you answer my question.
Well, one question I do have for Erica and Kevin, however. I know that there are instances in which certain aspects of the articles might need to be amended to conform with business practice issues, and that I'm focused, obviously, on the issues relating to the mission statement within the articles.
Mm-hmm.
How, as attorneys dealing with corporate issues, how do you see this? Do you recommend that we specifically say that this extraordinarily high threshold really goes to the issue of the mission as opposed to? I don't have the articles in front of me, but I know it says like
it's articles. Article 2, I think, of the articles.
How many board members there are and where the offices are, type stuff.
Well, I'd be a little concerned about you identifying anything as a carve-out.
Okay, so just keep it entire.
Mm-hmm. And Dave, based on your proposed amendment, it's three-quarters vote of the members voting, presuming there's a quorum and not three-fourths vote of a quorum, correct?
Yeah, whatever needs to be done
vote,
to make that...
Three-quarters vote by the members. Once a quorum has been achieved, I guess.
Yes, right. The language there is drafted of a quorum, and we need to go to check all of those.
Yeah, I've been checking
them. The when the quorum has been achieved, the vote is legitimate, but the vote is for all of those voting.
Right.
Yeah.
The three-quarters vote of the members.
Right, provided that...
Consistent with everybody's understanding?
Yeah. Got
objection
it.
To that analysis?
I'm
okay,
sorry?
So this motion, as I've read... Is it something we should probably do a roll call vote on this?
I don't think there's any objection.
Is there any objection whatsoever? Everybody understand it? No objection heard? Acclamation. Thank you. Next.
Which takes us down to are there any comments to subsection 3, 4, or 5 of this section 2 of Article 16?
You know you got a typo in 3, but
at the typo in 3, there's 1 and 2, and there's actually 1 and 5 as well.
I think Section 5 needs to be made consistent with the other Section 5.
Is that a motion?
Strike the written opinion of the legal counsel.
Do I need
second.
To...
I second that.
Yeah.
In Section, Article 16, Section 2E...
Five.
Concordance with the same language in the articles relating to the lawyer veto. Everybody understand?
Yes.
The objection?
Again?
By acclamation?
Say again, Dave.
That the phraseology in Article 16, Section 2, Sub B, Sub 5, relating to essentially what we've termed the lawyer's veto letter, that language that is applying to the articles, that we make our language consistent with the language relating to the bylaws. Thus, it would read, omitting the phraseology regarding legal letters from or written opinions from legal counsel.
Okay, sorry.
Is there any objection to concording that language with that of the prior subsection relating to bylaws? Hearing no objection, it's accepted by acclamation.